Shardalad Perikyud Bey. We did Perikyud Aleph for a little bit, and full transparency, I'm skipping a couple of the Zohars because I want to get to the Yesodos and their proofs to what he said. But what he said was that, it's a whole different way of looking at Torah. Let me just refresh your memories here, that we look at Torah as a sort of a book of mitzvos, information manual, instruction manual. They call it all kinds of things. But what it really is Stakel b'raisa bara alma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, created the Torah first, and then looked at the world. Created the world, looked at the Torah, Stakel b'raisa bara alma. And in other words, the world is, comes from the Torah, but when we have access to the Torah, we have access to the original document, if you will, which came before Bria Olam. And being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oysa Maisa Bracious, and he continues to create the world every second, so it means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly looking at the Torah and creating the world. So we are therefore called, for instance, the Gemara says it over many, many different languages. The Gemara says, Kol Adon Din Emes Lamitai, Nasa Shutaf LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'maisa Bracious, etc., etc. Many, many Chazal that probably come to mind. Is that there's somehow through Torah, it's not just again like we're learning Torah, learning how to be. It's a much deeper thing than that. We're actually getting involved under the hood in the ongoing creation of the world. That's the Yesod. The Torah we learned is called the Malbush HaNelam. We learned that last 2 weeks ago. But it's actually the stuff from which creation is made. And he said in Perikud Aleph that from the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, means when Moshe Rabbeinu brought us the Torah, Mina Shamayim, Elo Oretz, at Har Sinai, so at that point we became partners, meaning the access to the Torah was not just, okay, this is what they talk about in the heavens, or we have some kind of a, Kabbalistic view of things. It's not about view, that the minute HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Torah, this was a big paradigm shift. To bring the Torah from Shemayim to Aretz, that means to say that he brought in, this was what Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished for us, he brought in Adam, Basar Vadam, Yisrael, who chose the Torah and said, Naaseh V'nishma, brought them in as partners in the creation of the world. Shutaf LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'maaseh Bereishis. Shutaf LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'maaseh Bereishis. And what that means at a very simple level, Lachaira, is what's going on in this world, the good stuff, the crazy stuff, the health, the illness, a lot of it, if not all of it, at least 50%, depends on our ASIC in the original, in other words, we're in the boardroom there. We're really creating the world. So we want to look at how that works a little bit. It sounds very, sounds very esoteric in a way, but let's look at how that works. And here we get to Perikyud Beis, and I'd like to try to explain this morning. My goal is to explain a yesod here of the Nefesh HaChaim, or of the Mekubalim in general. In Perikyud Beis, he writes that before this point, we're talking about Torah, Limud HaTorah, but there's a different madrega, Kol Shekein Chidushin. If a person is mechadesh, a chiddush in Torah, assuming the chiddush is emes, chiddushim amitim d'oraisa, you have a chiddush in Torah. I don't think a chiddush in Torah means like you've brought down the Torah to a place where we could all understand now something which we didn't understand before. And by the way, that those chidushim, it's not about like a pilpul, just bringing into life a new understanding, a deeper understanding of Torah itself. So that's a chidush, and a lot of times that could not been done by Hillel and Shammai and Abaye and Rava because the world wasn't ready for that chidush. There's things we know today, as the world has developed, there are things that we know today that, oh, Das hat der Teure gemeint. So there's a chiddush in Torah that you can't understand I don't know if I mentioned this, but a negative example, but I was at a wedding on Tuesday night in Rehavia, and I spoke under the chuppah, and a very, very old man who was from a grandfather, and he was from Vilna, must have been 100 and something. He was from Vilna. His father was a rav on the Vilna Beis Din. It's Reb Chaim Oizer's Beis Din. And Reb Chaim Oizer, he tells me, was his tzaddik. So you can do the math of how old he must have been. But Reb Chaim Oizer passed away. He didn't see the Holocaust. But this man told me a story that the Beis Din was taken out by the Nazis in Vilna. I later learned that it was a sort of a famous story, but or infamous story. But they were taken out of the Beis Din in Vilna in the ghetto, and they were forced to strip naked and take the Sifrei Torah and dance in front of the Beis Din shtiebel. And that was the evil goinus of the Nazis. That how to be mevaza, gam the Torah, gam Jews, gam the Talmidei Chachamim, gam the Sefer Torah, all with one shot. And so he told me that he was young. I don't know how young he was, but he was young. But he remembers he was standing. He was made to watch, and he said that when he says the Torah says, "Vayisa meshuga mimarei einechem," he said. I saw it, but you should never see it. And I thought to myself, "Meshuga, what does meshuga mean?" They might have darshaned it throughout many, many generations. Ayisa meshuga, mimarei. They might have darshaned it in many ways, but he felt like he got the pshat. That's so in a kind of an awkward way. The Chiddush was, oh, this is what the Torah meant, Lo'alenu. So my point being that the Torah is an eternal document, and it can't always be darshaned until it's darshaned. So when we are doing a Chiddush in Torah, we're creating something in the pre-world, That's the Chiddush HaTorah goes. So he says, "Kol shekei chidushin amitim doraisa hamischat shema yedei ha'adam, ein aroich legoidel noirois niflois inyanam upulasim lamala." It's immeasurable. Ein aroich means it's immeasurable. What it accomplishes or what it does in lamala. Because every single word, and I want to be medayik here, we'll come back to in a second why it has to do with words. I mean, you could make a chiddush in your head, no? Or with your pen. But every word, hamischadeshes mipi ha'adam, and it comes from the mouth of a person. Kuchabrichu nashik lo ma'atula, Kadosh Baruch Hu kisses it. And makes it into a crown. V'nivna mimeno olam chadash, and it creates a new world. Bifnei atzmai. V'hein hein hashamayim hachadoshim v'oretz hachadosha she'omer hakosuv. And that's the new heavens and the new earth that the Navi is talking about. So, after this, we have proofs from Zoyars, but I just want to explain a little bit, like, Ad Mokim Shi Yadi Magas, what in the world is he talking about? It's very poetic, and it's very beautiful, and maybe if you have, like, a sort of artistic ability, you're able to imagine what it means. But what he's saying is that, and I think every word is meduyuk, that Chidushei Torah Amitim, understanding something in Torah in a way that nobody understood it before, is, and then saying it, let's not lose the words here, saying it with our mouths. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this we have to also be Medayik Nashik La, It's the lashon of the Zohar he's taking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kisses it, u'ma'atir lo, and makes it into a crown. And from that, that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Chiddush, menashik lo, ma'atir lo, and creates an olam chadash. So, my nafkamina. I mean, where are all these? I don't want to reduce this to anything almost that we can understand, but I do want to understand a little bit. What's the nafkamina in all these new worlds? Let's take him by his word that we're learning Torah right now. Maybe we're understanding something that maybe we should be zocher to understand something the people before us didn't understand. Bringing this into the world, and each word is being taken. That's why I don't like muting everybody. But each word can be taken, and as a world, as something like HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves and kisses and makes into a crown. Why a crown? And creates an olam. Where are these olamos? Eifoim. Where are these worlds, olamot? Where are they? Like, what does it mean? Like, we create stars, we're creating galaxies, planets. What are we creating exactly? Something in the spiritual world? Where is it here? Where are these olamot that we're creating? And he brings the Navi, Hashemayim Achadoshim Va'aretz Achadosha, which, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, is the last pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu. And there Yeshayahu speaks about there will come a day after he speaks about the Geula and Mashiach, and it'll be a whole new world, he says. And you'll have the Shamayim Achadoshim Va'aretz Achadosha. New heavens and new earth. And the Zohar elaborates on what this means. Shamayim HaChadoshim, Oretz HaChadoshim. But that's Yeshayahu's. We read this on, why do I know that? Because two reasons. It's what we read every Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Erek Samachvav. Hashamayim Kisiv, Oretz HaChadoshim, Ragloi. Right? That's what we read. And this is the last words. But then when we say the Haftarah, so we because it's Rosh Chodesh, we take the second to the last pasuk and we make it the last pasuk. Right? So that's not really the last pasuk. The last pasuk is this, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will make Hashemayim Achadoshim Va'aretz Achadosha. So where are these worlds? So the first answer is I have no idea. That being said, let me just try to explain something a little bit. A little bit of Kabbalah to make it easier. There's something called, don't be frightened by this idea, but there is something called, I'm sure you've heard, of Adam Kadmoin. Adam Kadmoin has nothing to do with Adam Arishan. two different things, two different concepts. Adam Arishan was a guy who lived in Gan Eden. Adam Kadmoin is something different. Adam Kadmoin, everyone familiar with the term? Adam Kadmoin refers to think of it as a chart. You know how there's charts of the Esser Spheros? Everybody's seen the charts, right? The Keser, Atara, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yisoyed, Malchus. So in Kabbalistic language, that was called Adam Kadmoin because Adam, the shape of Adam is Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, the Yamin and the Small, Netzach, the body core, Tiferes, and then Netzach, Hoid, that's the two legs, Yesoid, is the tool of procreation. Malchus is your feet down in the ground. So when we talk about Adam Kadmoin, what we're actually talking about is the Esser Spheros. But like I say, don't think of it as there's some kind of Adam Kadmoin. There isn't. What there is sort of a chart to help us understanding. It's not Bichdi, says the Arizal, that the shape of the Spheros is the shape of an Adam. And it's really for the reason that we're learning here, because an Adam is a shutuf of the Maisa Bereishis. Not that there's an Adam, but in other words, it's the Tzuras HaAdam is the Tzuras HaAdam. By the way, the Mekubalim go much further into this, like the Sa'ar, what's the Sa'ar, what's the Aznayim, what's the Einayim. There's like, we actually learned in, if you've been with us the Shur for a long time, when we learned Tamar Dvorah, not the first part of Tamar Dvorah that everybody learns, but the whole rest of it. So we talked about every one of these spheres that are in the Adam Kadmon. Now, here's what I want to explain here. That in the Adam Kadmon, this information, by the way, I learned, and you can learn also from a wonderful sefer by the Ramchal called Klach, Kuf Lamed Ches. It's Kuf Lamed Ches. See, the Ramchal has a sefer where he has 138 different yesodos of how the world works. Klach Sharei Chachma, which is a sort of a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, if you will, of the Sefer HaKlolim of the Ramchal. That's the background. These are Svarim we should all know by heart. So in the Klach, as the experts call it, the Klach, so in the Klach, he speaks about how the permutations of the spheros. Let's understand something in the biological system. In the biological system, there's such a thing as cell reproduction. So it means to say that, you have your cells, and your cells are constantly reproducing, Baruch Hashem, and the cell that gets reproduced, I mean, I think there's a sexual cell, asexual cell, I'm not a biologist, but when a cell reproduces, basically, it's the same thing. It's an exact duplicate, if you will, of what it came from, but it's different. It builds itself different. Something like when we have children. So the cell reproduction and procreation, which is cell reproduction, means that there's this ability for us to just naturally to produce and to reproduce. This is how we grow. This is how we get stronger. And God forbid, if it's sort of like free radical, this is how you can mess up. I presume that's the essence of cancer and things like that. But my point is that we can constantly be creating, let's call them new cells, and let me, for my mushel and nimshel, and if my mushel is not 100% accurate, it doesn't really make that much of a difference because I think it's accurate, but the point I'm making is, let's call each one of those cells an olam chadash. Something which was recreated, which is of and dome to the original cell that it came from. So it's a new olam, which is mi'ein, the old olam. Eser Ramchal in the Klach explains that you have the Eser Spheros. Some we understand more than others. But you have the Eser Spheros, but those Eser Spheros go through a reproduction cycle. And that's how the creation of the world happened. That is the Bria Sa'olam. And the Bria Sa'olam came through Amira. Ba'asarim Amaris Nivra Ha'olam. Vayomer, 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 Vayomer. 10 times Hashem said Vayomer, and Vayihor, right? There were animals, there was a person, there were people. So that was all, as the Ramban puts it in the beginning, forgive my French, it was all a big bang. It all started with one thing. And we spoke a lot about Toyu V'Choshech Al Pnei Haaretz, but all before that even started with one thing and then exploded out and exploded out and exploded out. Something which interests me is that in the world of cell reproduction, this is the definition of being alive or dead. Meaning, if a cell is unable to reproduce, it's not just should not makai the mitzvah peravu. It's dead. It's like the difference between a plant which is in the earth and it's growing, it's reproducing, doing exactly this cell reproduction, and or a piece of furniture that you have your sefer on right now, which is presumably not attached to the ground and not reproducing, and you come back tomorrow morning and it's in the same place situation, didn't grow. And if anything, because the cells are not reproducing, it's actually getting older. But you talk about dead wood, driftwood. So, okay, that's what happened. The true scientific definition of death, if you will, is, and which I believe has, I've learned about this a lot, and I've spoken about it a lot to groups of doctors, that, you know, what's the definition of life and death? You know, people talk about the breathing and the heartbeat. But etzem, those are all symptoms of life, not life itself. But the life itself is the ability to have this kind of reproduction going on in your body, which is going on all the time. And it's the same thing in the world of Ruchnius. The world was not made to stand static. Okay, here's the world. Poof, that's the world. It's not dead. It's not detached from its source. It's a live thing. The gashmius of it, the ruchnius of it, the neshama of it, the neshama that we have. You see, it's not that when we lose our neshama we become dead, but the neshama is the that's not what death means. But that's not what the neshama means. Neshama is something that we're able to carry if we're alive. So the alive is the nefesh and the ruach, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayipach ba'apam nishmas chayim. He put this into us, and with this, we've become part of the dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So ba'asar ma'maris nivra ha'olam. So now we have some maimer. We have a say also. But the say is not just. I mean, it could be that you know, like the Chafetz Chaim brings the very, very scary Zohar at the beginning in the Psicha. He says that, like, you know, when you talk Lashon Hara, you're machriv olamos. But let's talk about positively about being bona olamos. So being bona olamos means that we're taking that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is created and is constantly created, and we're making more of the same or better. And That's the definition of being borei olamos. Is everybody clear on what I'm saying, or am I confusing? Give me a little bit of feedback.
Well, it sounds like what you're saying is that borei olamos. It's almost like it's like part of a cycle of creation and destruction that's constantly happening every moment. And so, part of Bechira is choosing which part of the process we want to be a part of. Like, if we take the cell as a metaphor, you know, since the time I was born, I have been regenerated many, 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 many dozens and hundreds of times.
Right. So that's what the world is doing.
That's somehow the Bria is doing the same thing.
With our, and the Chiddush is, with our input. And that's what happens with Chiddush HaTorah. I want to, that's my molecular metaphor, cellular metaphor. I want to tell you, like, something that I derive hashkafa from, and some make some sense out of the world. But, you know, there's a natural. I think this is the same thing. There's a natural tendency to want to keep everything together, like echad. There'd be such a natural tendency, not wanting it to grow and grow and grow and grow. I kind of lose my control when I do something like that. I'll give you an example. Like, let's say, there's two kinds of Hasidic Rebbes, you know. So there's a Hasidic Rebbe that really wants the Olam to all daven with him. And if you daven somewhere else, like, it's like you're not by the Rebbe. And his Olam Baruch Hashem is growing and growing, and something like a Satmar type of Ashita, let's call it, where the Olam is growing and growing and growing and growing, but it's growing within. You know, and then there's like a, I'm not putting one over the other. See, you know, like, so if a chassid doesn't come to the Rebbe, it's like Shmerel was to Given, Nish Gizen. And this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. This is, you know, building something, nucleus of what it has to be. But then there's like a Rebbe, let's say like Lubavitcher Rebbe, which has had his yahrzeit. So Lubavitcher Rebbe, if he saw one of his chassidim in shul, he said to him, what are you doing here? You're not accomplishing anything here. Okay, Darais, go to Denmark, go to San Diego, go someplace, you know. what are you doing over here? Like, Pile Playim, you know, he still ended up with a couple thousand people around him all the time. But the point was that it was a type of his what he saw. You know, again, I'm not saying one over the other. They're two models. But what he saw is a sort of like, you know, exponential growth of Boyer Elamais. And what you're doing is you're taking, like, if you go back to my muscle of the cell reproduction, you're taking the mamasha package of the DNA, exactly the DNA, and you're putting it someplace else, very, very tiny, and it's growing sort of in its own way, but it has all the characteristics of the original. Yes? That's what's happening with cell reproduction. So, like, just to use his example, like, you know, 1,000 points of light. In other words, like, there's a lot of like miniature oilamais chadashim that are being mischadish. It tells you something very interesting, a little chassidish thing, that in Ger, just while I'm going with my mushel here, in Ger, so in Yerushalayim, Ger Yerushalayim, which is the headquarters of Ger, and thousands and thousands of people. So the rule in Ger was you don't daven anywhere but in Ger. Yeah, nafkim in some shtibel. But then, of course, that used to be on Malchei Yisrael. So Malchei Yisrael, so Ger grew and grew and grew, Baruch Hashem. So it wasn't really fitting in Malchei Yisrael. So they built another big building on Yirmiyahu. So you could see it. So it's 4 times the size, 5 times the size. And it's forever under construction. If you've ever driven down Yirmiyahu, it's forever under construction. So people say, well, you know, they don't put the outside of the building on. You know, it's like KSY because they're waiting for that big donor, you know, to come. That's not why we don't put the outside of the money. But what the story was that when this Ger Rebbe became the Rebbe, you know, toured the Ger Moistus and he looked at this big, gigantic, unfinished building, which they were davening in the basement, because it was already bigger. The basement that wasn't built was bigger than the Ger Shtibel. And he said, no, this is not big enough. It's not good enough. Ger is going to be built. You got to build bigger. So they say, we don't have land bigger. And they made a whole deal with Schneller, with the army base, and a whole business over there. So now that they doubled the size, still not built, of the original Ger Shtibel. But why am I telling you this? Like in a little, you know, this you could read in the Kikar Shabbat or something like that. But what happened? The Ger Rebbe, they said, where are we going to daven if we're going to start doing more construction? So he said, okay, in the meantime, we'll have to make Shtiblach. Like, so he was Matras Habamais. So he said, let there be Shtiblach. And, you know, like until we get this whole project finished with, so the Ger Chassidim will daven here, the Ger Chassidim will daven there. So all of a sudden there's in Yerushalayim 100 Ger Shtiblach, you know, where you can daven, which was contrary to the rules of Ger in Yerushalayim. So after a year, so the Ger Rebbe looked at it and he said, you know what? It's a Besser Azoy. Because instead of having one Ger, now you have 300 Gers. You know, and you know, all of a sudden it became like, now I don't know what they're going to do when they finish the building, but you know, I was just thinking, like, you know, the you know, like this whole one of the most tragic things of this virus that we're going through, this pandemic, is that it seems to me it's dividing Jews, dividing kihilos, I mean, just my kihilo, but all kihilos, people are becoming very comfortable in their backyards and on their porches. Who knows if we'll ever get them back? The people are wearing masks, which is Hester Punham, divides one from the other. But it is what it is. This Kach Gozer Hashem, and now we're hearing Loyalenu that they might even close the shuls in the next couple of weeks in my instance outside of Revation. But it's extremely, extremely frustrating on the one hand. On the other hand, it's okay. So now there's a whole bunch of of this type of a shul, if you will. So there's like these cell reproduction of Boira Elamais. But the only thing is that it's only meaningful. It's not a piser if it's not a free radical. Like it's only meaningful if whatever the derech of the Satmar Rebbe, the Ger Rebbe, the whatever Rebbe you want to talk about, is only meaningful if the oilum which comes out of it is a me'ain of the oilum harishain with the same sort of DNA, and it grows from there. That's meaningful. And that was, when I learned in Brisk, there was one Brisk, like and that, they're unthinkable, like to, that there should be anything but the one Brisk, and the shir with at that time 80, 90 bachrim, now it's more, have to take place in the same room where the Brisker Rav gave shir. Like there's nothing changing here. There's nothing. Today there's I think 10 or 11 Brisks. There's this one's brisk and that one's brisk and baby brisk and also brisk, all kinds of brisks, and it's not around the table, and there's still the original brisk, but in order to be called a brisk, you got to be brisk, that's the so you have to when one has to start examining what they what they stand up and what they stand for, and then branch out. But it's like that's my those are my mishalim, if you will, of the idea of borei elamais. So let me go a drop further into this. Borei elamais. So every time a person's learning Torah, he's making elamais, making new worlds. And where are those worlds? And what are they doing? So Nefesh HaChayim brings, as I said, the pasuk in Yeshayahu Samach Vav Chaf Beis, last three psukim of the Sefer Yeshayahu. Spectacular nevuah about that when Mashiach comes, when the Geula happens. And when the Geula happens, it'll be Shamayim HaChadoshim V'aretz HaChadosha. I just remembered something that the Bnei Yisachar. So in the beginning of Bereishis, so he writes that Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Ve'Es HaAretz. So the S's are extra, right? Bereishis Bara Elokim HaShamayim Ve'Aretz. What do you need? Es HaShamayim Ve'Es HaAretz. What's the purpose of that? Grammatically, nobody knows. I don't think anybody knows what the S's are for altogether, what S. But the Gemara always says that S is L'Rabbis. Right? S is Kabed, S Avicha, V'Es Imecha, L'Rabbis. Tell me the Es HaShem Lekecha Tirun, Es HaShem Lekecha L'Rabbis, tell me the Chachamim. The Gemara always darshins, right? Rishimanam suni hayadarsh kol esen shibater, the Gemara says himsachem. So it needs a drasha. So the Bnei Yisachar gives a drasha. Es hashamayim ve'es ha'aretz is gematria shamayim hashamayim hachadoshim va'aretz hachadosha. Meaning that such a deep Bnei Yisachar, not just a gematria, kidarkai. It's not just like, oh, what are those esen for? It comes out a new gematria. No, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating this world. Bereishis Bara Elokim HaShamayim V'Haaretz. But he's also creating Adam. And Adam is creating, and then he's also giving us the Torah, and a civilization and humanity are being poyel. And what's happening is that within the Es HaShamayim Es HaAretz licked in the Es HaShamayim Es HaAretz, we're already creating Olamos Chadashim through this tool that we have, through this vehicle called HaShamayim V'Aretz. We're also creating at the same time HaShamayim HaChadashim V'Aretz HaChadasha that Yeshayahu spoke about. So it means, do you hear the omic of this? Selikshoin in the original Bria, that there's room for growth. This wasn't meant to just be this. And what is it talking about, Yeshayahu? What is that? Es Hashemayim, Es Ha'aretz. It's talking about the Zman of the Geula, where it'll be new. So it means to say that, in other words, that our Torah is creating stuff, but we're not going to see it till the Geula. That's what it sounds like. So I say no, because Chazal say, Zman Choikas in the Gemara, the Yerushalmi and Bracha speaks it out. But the way we seems to be the maskan of the Gemara is that the Geula is not like a boom, wow, that was a Geula, all of a sudden the world changes. Kima. I've said this a few times already, that just like the world is 2,000 years of Tohu V'Vohu and 2,000 years of Torah, 2,000 years of Geula, that the Tohu V'Vohu developed into Avraham Avinu, Matan Torah. Torah developed from Matan Torah to Rabbi Akiva and further. And then the last 2,000 years, Yemos HaMashiach is also a development stage. And I think this is Pashut in the Gemara, and it's politically people like to be in denial of this, but I'm not a politician. Ani is Daiti Plain Emes, look, you're seeing how Eretz Yisrael, and you're seeing, Kibbutz Golios, and you're seeing Torah, and it's a process of geula, kima v'kima. So kima means bit by bit is the geula, until you have the geula hashlema. That's why we ask for, okay, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it the geula shlema. But what it means to say is that when, this is what Yeshayahu is saying, that as we're learning Torah, and we're mechadish divrei Torah, meaning we're, think about it, we're bringing out things that were never understood before. They couldn't understand it. Maybe you couldn't understand it until we see the world the way it is today. I don't mean because you have to Google it, but because you see, Vayisa Meshuga, Mimari Nechem, and Latoiv, you can see brachas today. Who would have imagined these kind of brachas? Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Asher Eini Hashem, Aleh, Mereshis Hashanah, Achrishanah. You see things today that I don't know if they understood this in pre-war Europe, how the eye of Hashem is on Eretz Yisrael, the miracles that we have here on a regular basis. We don't even know about the miracles that we're going through on a regular basis. So what it means to say is that eventually the world will be renewed. Shamayim achadoshim v'aretz achadosha. But it's not a one-time thing. Right, what we're doing right now, particularly with Chidushei Torah, meaning understanding the Torah in a whole new way, the new Torah, is we're creating as we go a whole new world. And it's hard to see exactly how this is happening, but it is happening. These alumni make a difference in the world. It's just like every social movement makes a difference in the world. It didn't go away. The 60s didn't go away. It's just coming back now, so it's just like everything makes a difference, and of course we believe what every single person does makes some kind of a difference, like the butterfly effect. So what we need to understand is particularly Chidushei Torah are Borei Olamos in the deepest type of a way, in the deepest type of a place, and that they are becoming the world as we see it, and when it's complete there will be a geula. But we don't see the same world as they saw 100 years ago on any level. It's not the same thing. Even though things say nothing changes, they do change. But what doesn't change is even in the Shemayim HaChadoshim, in the Eretz Chadosha, what doesn't change is that DNA. So the Vayoymer, Asara Mamaris Nivroilam, that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Ein Bein Yemois HaMashiach Loilam Hazeh. There's not really a difference because it's the same DNA. The world is the same DNA with Mashiach, not Mashiach, but it's the same thing. But at the same time, it's an Olam Chadosh and a Shamayim Chadosh, because it's a permeation, a permutation of it. And we are seeing. I think we see it every day more than ever. We see this koach that we have.
So that seems to be the condition, that the Kiddushim Amitiim Daraisa, what does Amitiim mean? It means that they are drawing down the DNA from the Torah, not from somebody's preferences or whatever. Because meaning they have to be Lishma.
Lishma is one thing, and emes. Because if you darshan the sukkim wrongly, as did so many religions, by the way, I'm not talking about just like, you know, me and Dan, we learn wrong pshat. All religions based on corrupting the pasuk. But if you, and as you said, people darshan the Torah to meet their, you know, it's self-centric instead of Torah-centric. But if it's chidushim amitim b'raisa, chidushim amitim b'raisa is that it's, oh, we're really in participating, we're really explaining what the Torah means, that's a chidush, we're really explaining what the Torah means in a whole new way. So what we're creating is a whole new world. Because we're a shutav l'Kadosh Baruch Hu b'maaseh b'reishis. You know, you think for a minute, like, why do we need Achronim if we had Rishonim? Why do we need Rishonim if we had Goyim? And why do we need Goyim if we had Amoraim? And why do we need Amoraim if we have Tanoim? It's all Chidushim, Chidushim, Chidushim. It's just, it's taking what the basics, the Yud Gimel Dvarim Shatur and the Dreshes Bahem, and whoa, let's go. In an infinite sort of a way. Why is it infinite? Because the Torah is infinite. Why is the Torah infinite? Because Yisrael b'kud shebrichu v'arayis echadu. So it means the applications are infinite. The meaning is infinite. The understanding of it is infinite. You can have 10 people learning it and 10 people understand it and all be emes. So we said last week, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. That's what that means. So, okay. That's what we have. So this is a little bit of a hasaga in the olamos. We all talk about olamos. The olamos that we make have to come from emes and they have to go to emes. They have to be doma. Don't let them just run away. They have
it's
to
10
be.
O'clock.
They have to be doma to the original Torah, but then they come back as Shemayim Chadashim, or Arz Chadasha. Okay, Sheniske Kulanu Lagaula. Yes.
It's Yaakov Marcus. Are we saying that these chedushim, that's Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know?
So the Gemara says that, right? The Gemara says that that Moshe Rabbeinu met Rabbi Akiva and Shemayim, and Rabbi Akiva taught him a few things. Rabbi Akiva said that Dairish Tilei Tilim Shel Halachas Al Kol Tag V'Tag, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, "What's this?" And he said, once he heard, listen to how important this Gemara is. Once he heard the Rabbi Kiva say, "Halacha l'Moshe Masinai hu," so Nisyasudaita, he became happy. Why? But it wasn't halacha l'Moshe Masinai. Moshe Rabbeinu don't even know what he's talking about. if we could believe such a thing, but the Torah says it came from me, but it's your own chiddush, and as long as you understand that it's not a free radical, it's not something which is, you know. And so many people and so many movements, and that's where Moshe Rabbeinu got nervous. Like, is this Judaism? No. It all comes from this original thing. But, you know, isn't it interesting, though, Alpizet, that sometimes, like, you don't even recognize your children, you know? like, where did this come from? You know, I have kids that are much bigger Talmidei Chacham than I am. But, you know, where did it come from? Hein l'toiv, hein l'ra. But you know what? Everybody outside, you know, walks by and says, "I can tell that's your grandson from a mile away." So, you know, like, it's the same and it's not the same. That's the pshat in Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the pshat in Rabbi Akiva, and that's the pshat in us, I think.
Hello, Haber?
Yeah.
Avinoam Frankel, on this piece, he has a footnote. He refers you to his Chelik Beis, which is the Leshem, and he addresses exactly that point about the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's and Rabbi Akiva, and the lessons that Teich seems to be, I just looked at it briefly, is is that Moshe Rabbeinu understood it on a level which could not be articulated. So the level of Rabbi Akiva's generation was that they brought it, the Tzimtzum was a lilavush for the or that it allowed it to be articulated, and that's the Briah Chadasha.
Maybe that's what the Nefesh HaChaim is saying when it has to be spoken out.
Yeah.
Right.
I just thought.
Yeah. I'm not sure Yitzchok, if that's very different than we're saying, but it's a nice nice synopsis. But the Amira and the Peh, mm-hmm. that's all comes from the original Vayomer, Asar Mamarish and Nivra Olam. So it's my Peh, his Peh. And I mean, the truth is, here's the difference that he's saying, the Leshem, if that's what you're quoting, is that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't articulate it, but I'm just saying, why not? Because it was a Raus Vasayim. Why couldn't he articulate it? Because
there's an or that comes down, the process of Tzimtzum.
So let's say it in our language, that he couldn't articulate it because it wasn't ready to be articulated yet. It wasn't cooked. So it's what's ready for us to articulate of what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Which is true, by the way, not just of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's probably true of every great physicist. Mm-hmm. You know, they had no idea. I'm sure if Alexander Graham Bell would see what we're doing here, he wouldn't know what we were doing. He wouldn't get it at all. You know, so. All right, Shavua Tov and Varach, everybody. Good talk.